Hello, and welcome to the Popmatic Podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Crystal. We're librarians at Nashville Public Library.
This podcast is where you can find reviews and recommendations of the best books, movies, and music available for checkout from the Popular Materials Department of the Nashville Public Library.
You can also learn about library programs such as concerts, film screenings, book clubs, author talks, and book signings.
June marks the end of one of our favorite shows here in PopMat. Of course, I'm talking about Lost. On this episode, we're going to talk about our thoughts, feelings, predictions, conspiracy theories about the show. Of course, I'm an antisocial curmudgeon who doesn't watch television. I'm the only person involved in this podcast who doesn't watch Lost. But Crystal made a really cool book display in Popular Materials about all the books that were mentioned on the show. And the books that she put out were so cool that I thought that, like, maybe I should watch this show because the books were so good that she put out on the display. The display might be taken down by the time this podcast airs, but if not, you should come and try to check it out. But don't worry about me. Next month, we're going to be talking about my favorite opera, John Adams' Nixon in China. I'll crawl back to my yurt now.
Thanks, Brian, for that great intro. This is Crystal here, and I'm going to lead our discussion of the past six seasons of Lost, and I think we'll start out with the characters portion of the chat. So I'm going to pass this first question to Amanda. Which character do you think the writers killed off too soon?
Charlie. I don't even know. Looking back on it, I don't even know why he had to die. Couldn't he have sent the message and then stepped outside the door and turned the wheel? I mean, it bugs me. Because I liked Charlie. I thought Charlie was awesome. And they tried to kill him in, was it first season? When they strung him up to the tree and...
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Who found him?
Ethan.
Ethan put him up after he was going after Claire. And I was like, oh, they gave him a reprieve. And I was so happy. And then he didn't make it out of the... Was it the Hydra station? He was in
the
looking glass.
Thank you. Right. Yes, looking glass. He didn't make it out, and then I was very sad. And I'm still kind of sad, but I'm glad that Hurley can still see him, because then we get to see Charlie now and again.
Sure. My wife still cries sometimes.
Still cries about Charlie.
Sometimes.
Because it was not Penny's boat.
Would he be your choice, Jeremy, of the character killed off too soon?
I like Mr. Echo, because he was weird, and he was a nice... another mystical kind of guy like Locke, but I guess the guy left the show because he had personal things to deal with somewhere else. So I think they actually did have, I mean, I don't know what plans they had, but I just thought he was an interesting character, and like he was really kind of creepy, but really good too, and sort of like a good example of the person trying to make himself better, like all the other people that are on the show.
He had a good side storyline, too, with his family
and
the whole drug trafficking.
Yeah, and it was just, I mean, and then in the third, I guess he died in the third season, and he just kind of died. I mean, he didn't have a lot to do then, and it just, he was just really interesting, and I really enjoyed his story.
I did enjoy Echo as a character. For me, though, a more recent character, I was sad to be that he was killed off so soon, and that would be Dogen.
Oh, yeah.
The temple master.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I really enjoy that character. The actor was great.
Yeah.
He was just had such a presence, and I thought there could be some real potential with developing him, and then they had to kill him off.
Yeah. That whole deal with the temple seemed like to kind of just come and go, like it was sort of an afterthought, but then sort of like we thought this was a good idea, but they had to pivot really fast
because
they
didn't have enough episodes.
Yeah, there wasn't really anything going. Right. Yeah, there wasn't anything going on there.
Well,
which is sort of I guess something that maybe happened a lot throughout the whole series as they're trying things.
See, they planned this one since you know the third one, so I think that helped. But
sure. Well, Jeremy, who do you think they didn't kill off soon enough?
This is going to be a controversial answer, and the fan community is going to be up in arms. You're going to get so many comments. But I think that they killed Jin and Sun not soon enough. Not because I think they should die, but because the last two seasons, since they've been split up, there has been there was no progress. I need to find my wife. I need to find my husband. I need to find my wife. Where's my husband? And then there's a lot of like doe eyes in the background. Where's my husband? Have you seen my? No, sorry. We'll get to that later. And then they get together and then back together and they die. And it just seems like if there was nothing that there was going to be done with them, then they should. And they planned on killing them. Then they should have killed them a long time ago.
But would you rather have them killed apart, like had? You know, Jin die at the beginning when he went on the raft.
No, I mean, I guess that's the sacrifice. I mean, the coming together deal is fine, but it just, I don't know. It just was sort of they were a couple of characters that I never, like, when I started watching the show and I sort of, and was learning sort of how to watch it, how, you know, you're going to get a different character each week or whatever. I thought I'm not going to be interested in their story because it's a love story. And that's for girls and whatever. But then, like, their episodes were always really good, you know, mostly anyway. And I really did enjoy it. And I really liked their story. And I really hated him at first because he was a real jerk.
Yeah, I've liked her since.
Yeah, and then he became a lot better man to her and for himself and whatever. And so I really liked their sort of arc, I guess. And then it just seemed like they kind of got cast to the side and were really background when they had been foregrounded so much. But I mean, I understand because they weren't as much a part as the stories that were going on. It just was sort of frustrating to have them make it so close to the end and then die fairly tragically. So, but I would also say maybe as a B selection, maybe Shannon, just because she, you know.
They killed her off pretty soon.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't want her. I liked her.
Yeah.
I liked her brother, Boone.
Oh, yeah. He was a handsome man.
And you can see him on Vampire Diaries.
That's right. Each
every
week
Thursday night on the CW.
Well, best guest star of the series?
Is it bad that the best guest star was just on this week? Because I was really happy to see Alice and Janney show up. Because I haven't seen her anything big since The West Wing. Mm-hmm. So, but I also have to give a shout out to, I can't remember the actress's name. She played Michelle Desler on 24. I don't know her name. She was the Sawyer's boss's wife when they first got to the old school compound. And I like her. But it was nice to see her after she blew up on 24 and became a loss.
How about you, Jeremy?
Well, I picked two because one was so quick. Billy Dee Williams and the Nikki and Paolo episode expose, it was awesome because Billy Dee Williams is Lando Calrissian and he was a guest star on a TV show and he was on a TV show in that TV show and
she's like mind warping.
Yeah, and his name was like Mr. Shade or something funny and he's just yeah baby, you know, like
which is pretty much what Billy
that's
Williams
pretty
does.
Much what he does. Old 45. You're still flying around that bucket of bolts.
Now, you old, like Star Wars either.
Yeah, you old pirate.
Sorry Brian, you're just 0-2.
Yep. So, this deal's getting worse all the time. This is an excellent Billy Dee Williams impression I'm cultivating, by the way. My other one would be Tom Cruise's cousin, William Maypother, who was Ethan. He was on.
He's Tom Cruise's cousin.
He's Tom Cruise's cousin. Look at him. You can see
it. Yeah, I see
it. You can totally see it.
The creepiness?
Yeah, exactly.
Couch jumping.
The laser eyes. he was sort of, I guess, featured early on in the first season, and then they killed him. And he was really creepy. Like there's some scene where he's standing in the jungle and he's covered. He's getting rained on. He's all creepy. But he popped up periodically.
He was here recently.
Yeah,
he popped up in the Sideways world as a good.
Oh
guy.
Yeah, as a doctor. Yeah, oh, Claire. Sorry. Anytime he popped up, I kind of jump a little bit because he was the first, I guess, other that you meet and that you see, and that they realize that they're not alone in the first season. So he really was creepy, even when he was acting really nice. There was those times when he was he had kidnapped Claire and was like taking giving her shots and stuff. He just was really creepy, like some sort of like one of those guys that kidnaps some the kid and had her locked away for 20 years or whatever. He seems like somebody that would talk to you like that, like, let's go to my basement.
Now, I'm surprised that neither of you mentioned Nathan Fillion.
Oh, well.
He was my favorite. Oh, you forgot.
I forgot Captain Cameron.
Nathan Fillion, which is, of course, Castle, which you can watch on Monday nights on ABC, right?
Captain Mal Reynolds on Firefly.
He played...
I don't care about that, John. I don't care about that.
But he was Kate's husband. Or were they just engaged? I think they got married.
They did get married. They got married, and then she ran away.
And he drugged her.
Season 3. Her story arc.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, I forgot about it.
And speaking of Kate, gripping or annoying, the love triangle between Kate, Jack, and Sawyer.
I didn't think that... It seemed like, to me, that it was more played up by... not on the show, but by the fans
and people,
like early on. And then it kind of became more of a thing. I mean, so it wasn't annoying until people attached the name to it, when Juliet was thrown into the mix, and then there were the Jaders and the Skaters.
Yes.
Which I'm not super involved. I mean, I don't like post comments or anything. I read articles and then maybe the first couple of comments for things. I'm serious. Laugh all you want, man.
Yeah. You want to know a secret?
I don't do that. But
more than once.
But no, I mean...
Sitting here in a room and you have the action figure from the show.
That's right, but man's got to draw a line. And this man draws a line at calling himself a Jader or a Skater. I like a television program. I don't have any tattoos or anything like that. So that's when it became annoying for me.
I thought Juliet kind of mitigated some of that a little bit, but then we played she started jumping beds and...
Oh, yeah.
Because I really liked Jack and...
Jack and Juliet.
Yeah, so I was like, he sounded funny. I liked them together, but I liked Juliet and Sawyer together.
I like them together.
So that, because I didn't see that coming, and I really liked that. Right. Plus, then that meant Jack and Kate could be together, and I've always liked them together. So I think that Kate and Sawyer are too much alike to
ever be.
Although they could go out and be Bonnie and Clyde and have a good time.
Well, before we leave characters, real quickly, if you guys crashed on a mysterious island, name two lost castaways and one of the others that you would want to be stranded with.
I think this is creepy, but all three of mine start with J. And I'm not sure if that's a conspiracy theory or that just happened, but I would pick Jack, and I would pick John, and I would pick Juliet.
Right.
That would be my crew.
I think I would pick Jack because he's a doctor.
He's got practical.
And Locke, because he seems like an interesting guy.
He could find stuff.
Yeah,
he
and then
food.
Richard Alpert, because I'd like to learn Spanish.
Oh, muy bueno.
Yeah, see.
Now, I chose Hurley for laughs,
sure.
Jack because he could keep me healthy, and Richard Alpert because he's lived there over 100 years, and he knows all the good fishing holes and where to find the mangoes and, et cetera, et cetera.
He's both good, Richard. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, I like Guy Liner as well.
Yes. Okay, the plot thickens.
Ooh.
Best... cliffhanger, most anxiety creating cliffhanger, Jeremy?
I thought the end of season 3 when you realize that it's the flash forward instead of the flashback, because I didn't start watching the show till I watched the first 2 seasons on DVD like in a whirlwind when I first moved to Nashville, and then the third season started shortly after that, so we were on the hook by then, and the third season, like after those first two, were really... I think the show as a whole lends itself to watching it all in one thing, because some episodes either aren't as good or so little happens that you have to, you want to move forward, just you're yearning for the story or whatever. And so the third season was kind of a letdown because they aired those first 6 episodes and there was like 3 months or something where there was nothing.
Was that during the writer's strike episode?
No, that was the next year.
Okay.
Season 3, they did 6 episodes in the fall and then they didn't start back again until January or something. And then a lot of those episodes, like especially in the middle, those first 6 were just kind of wheel spinning where Jack or Kate and Sawyer were just in the cages the whole time. And then it came back and there was like that episode where Jack got his tattoo and then the Nikki and Paolo stuff was going on.
Yeah.
And so it was really kind of down. But then there was stuff where like where you find out about Locke, how Locke got in the wheelchair, and then Sawyer kills Locke's dad. So all these episodes were building and really awesome. And then the third season, there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on and violence. And the flashback thing is Jack with a beard listening to the Pixies and popping pills and stuff. And then you realize that it's in the future when they've already left the island and everything's messed up and somebody's dead and who's dead. And then it's like, oh, it's May, and then the show ends and it doesn't come back till January or February. I thought that was really awesome and exciting.
That was my pick, too, the end of season 3. How about you, Amanda?
See, I'm the soft P. I'm rocking it old school, and I'm talking the end of season 1. When you see them, they're staring down the hatch, and you're like, what in the world? Because you just, you know, they've been stranded on this island, and some, you know, weird things have started to happen, yeah. But you're still pretty in normal land at this point, and so now all of a sudden this mysterious hatch shows up, and ooh.
The beginning of season 2, when it starts with Desmond's going about his morning routine and stuff. Yeah, that was the first, I think I was telling you earlier, the first episode that I ever saw without ever having seen any of it. So I knew what was at the bottom. And I think that probably would have been,
yeah.
even if I was just waiting to put the next season's disc in to watch, I think that would have been pretty.
Well, that was one of those episodes, too, that it starts and you're like, is this Lost? What
am
I watching?
Yeah,
yeah. Because you had never met Desmond before. Yeah. You didn't know you were in the hatch
and
already.
There's a Mama Cass song.
Yeah.
So
he's typing some numbers into some things. Yeah. And ready to go.
It's really, like, every time I see it now, every time I see it, because I see it every day. But the times since I first watched it, like, when I see that, start is pretty exciting, but that shot of them just sort of like the hole just getting mm-hmm. deeper.
You just
and deeper.
See, like, is it Locke and Jack? They're staring over the.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I had a question around the tip of my tongue.
Oh, I scared it out of you.
Tip of my tongue, and now I've forgotten
what's
where
Brian?
I wanted
you.
To go to. More or less important, the mysteries surrounding the island throughout the.
I think it depends on.
I should say before you answer, Amanda, that we're having this chat. With one episode in the finale left. So this past week's episode, we kind of had a reveal and learned a little more about the island origins. So
what I was going to say is I think that it depends on where they go with it. I mean, I feel like right now they're just like building, 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 you know, and I don't,
right.
There better be a payoff at the end of this, you know, because I'd hate to think that they built this mystery and then they're just going to keep it that way and they're not going to give us any answers.
Yeah. I think my thing is some of the stuff when they introduce it, like as an idea of like, what is this weird thing happening here? Or why is this place, why is this island important? Like that stuff is it's frustrating to not know a specific answer, but then given a specific answer, it's not satisfying. And I think that's one of the problems with having so many of these sort of long. I mean, I don't really feel like there's a ton of stuff that's unresolved that has to be resolved. I think people sort of want to know, like, why is this place important? But it's like, then we found out this last week, it's like, oh, there's like something special underneath, you know, there's some light down here. Well, that's kind of lame, you know? I mean, it
really
looks kind of lame in its execution. It's special, and then all this weird stuff is happening in this place because it's special. And that's almost a better answer than saying there's some kind of light or something. And because then, what is the light? And then one of the characters said something. Said every answer is just going to lead to more questions, and so I think that's almost like their way of saying shut up about why are there whispers or why did that bird say Hurley's name or whatever weird things. So I mean I absolutely think that stuff is important, but it doesn't have to be addressed. So it's not like someone has to look at the camera and say the island is, and then you know. Because it's an island.
It'd be helpful, though, if they did.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
Because I want to know. Just tell me.
That's true.
And let me go back to my life.
Let me go back to my life. That's good. That's funny. As an addition to this, my notes indicate that I think that the Jacob and the unnamed Jacob's brother, obviously they're super important and they've been mentioned, like Jacob was mentioned as far back as like the second season, the end of the second season, or at least the beginning of the third season, and you saw him, I'm making quotation fingers, it wasn't him, I guess, though, I guess it was the man, the unnamed man, because anyway, I feel like they could have, they should have been more, not so mysterious so long, and, mm-hmm. and have been more.
That's
because
a good
they
point.
Didn't, you didn't first see them until the end of the fifth season, and then they popped up periodically this year, and the idea of this sort of the two sides and the black and white was introduced in the very first episode, but I just feel like they could have, they should have maybe been peppered a little, or especially since they knew as far back as the middle or the end of the third season how much longer they were
yeah.
going to go and then when it was going to end. It feels like they could have handled, should have handled that a little bit better.
Yeah, I thought this whole week's episode with the reveal about the brothers should have come before the third to last
yeah.
episode.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care at this point. Now I'm talking big, you know, storyline. I want to know. This is just this
yeah.
little sidebar. They're like, oh,
kind of broke up
this.
The momentum, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
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 Especially because the previous episode, so a lot have happened.
Big,
a lot of people
yeah,
were dying.
Big
and
things happened.
I mean, yeah.
They're just like, well, hey, we're not quite done yet.
yeah. Let's and they do that. And I think that's one of the things about watching it on DVD that helps.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of this sort of like lurch and all this stuff happens. And then, oh, we're pulling it back and... I mean, what do I know about the TV business? But I just know sitting at home. Sometimes it's frustrating.
It can be, definitely, but not sure what to do with my life after it's over.
Well, you can watch 24. It'll end on Monday.
Brian mentioned in the intro, put together a display of books that have been mentioned or featured or may have had an influence on the series, so I have a lot of reading to do. All right, well, we're going to go on to a little section called Trivia Time. I'm going to put the Losties to the test here.
I'm not going to do good on this.
In The Flash Sideways, what movie did Sawyer say made him want to become a cop?
Is it Bullet?
Bullet.
Steve McQueen?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Which now
guess.
I should put in a plug. We are screening Bullet here at the main library on Saturday, June 12th at 2 p.m., so don't miss that.
Steve McQueen. I love it.
What book is Jacob calmly reading as John Locke falls to the ground after being pushed out the window?
Everything That Rises Must Converge by Flannery O'Connor.
You got it.
Did you look that up or did you know
it? I knew it. I knew it.
I didn't know it. I saw the book fall, but I couldn't remember
what book
it was.
Because when it's doing it, he's doing this. He's reading like this, like, hey, look at this book.
look
at this book. yeah. Pay attention to what I'm reading.
That's right. It's important.
Yeah.
What is the title of the hit song by Charlie's band Driveshaft? Extra points. Points don't really count, but if you sing your answer, you'll get applause.
You want to do it?
You all, everybody. You all, everybody.
That's pretty much every lyric to the whole song.
Well, acting like it's stupid people wearing expensive clothes. Which is... hilarious.
It is.
It's kind of one of those. It's a really catchy tune.
Oh, yeah.
I would sing along with it, and then you start to think about what they're saying, and you're like, I have no idea what that means.
I could be wrong, but I remember on the DVD, they talk about the song, and I think one of the guys from Fountains of Wayne wrote or co-wrote the song.
Okay,
and then,
I buy that.
And then the lyrics came from something that, like, I don't know, they were all working on the show or something, and somebody had seen... I don't know if it was like a clip online or someone had seen this Maury Povich or Jerry Springer, and this lady was like, you all, everybody acting like it's stupid people wearing expensive clothes. And so
okay.
I think,
well,
now maybe I invented the backstory.
It's
for
a
that.
Good backstory. So it's, just,
or maybe that's what they said in the because I remember I had a cold when I watched the DVD
so
the first time.
Cold medicine
and it was almost 4 years ago. So there could have been. You know, maybe I'm incorrect about that. So I'm sure we'll get lots of comments.
Yes.
That's right. Our listeners will let us know.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. When the Losties celebrated the holiday season with a potluck, who made the Dharma Initiative figgy pudding?
I got nothing.
You told me already you made that up. There's no
trick question.
There's no Dharma Initiative figgy pudding.
So I could not have Googled that. And
yeah. I did Google it.
So who made it, Brian?
The doctor. Go back to your yurt.
The cute one.
Which actor do you think will continue to have a successful career in film and television?
the hot guy.
I would say no comment, maybe. It seems like stuff like this, people don't tend to escape it, you know.
Right. They've been this character for so long, it's hard.
Plus, so many of them, not that they didn't have careers before, but they weren't as recognizable. I mean, the guy, Terry O'Quinn, that plays Locke, was on Alias, and he's been around. And he's
we saw him in an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But he's always going to be John Locke, though.
Yeah,
you know, it's John Locke.
One, Matthew Fox was on Party of Five, my favorite television program ever.
When what's her, Juliet, what's her name? She's been on a bunch of
She was in this movie called Elizabeth Mitchell.
She was in the Santa Claus, too.
That's right.
The deuce?
She's the wife, the deuce, that's right.
She was in this movie called Running Scared with Paul Walker, and so she. It was like this. It was like a little Red Riding Hood kind of take, but it was super violent and really over the top and goofy. But she plays this woman, and her husband like kidnap children and kill them, and they videotape it, and they have this room in their house that's covered in plastic, and there's all kinds of axes and stuff, and she is super creepy in it. I mean, it's not the best movie in the world, but it's pretty entertaining if you like children dying and apartments,
plastic rooms,
and expensive apartments. Yuppies videotape it, but it she was super creepy, and then when I saw her on the show, I was like, oh my god, it's that killer lady. I don't like her.
She kind of does the same role, and you know, she's an oven that gets rowdy with a gun.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
Well, Daniel Day Kim, of course, is doing the pilot for the remake of Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in that too?
Yeah.
If that takes off, he's already got
another. He was on Angel before,
Michael Emerson, I think he's probably has the potential to continue to be a great character actor.
Yeah, he's really... I really like him. I like a lot, but it's one of those things I don't know.
So, who will be the first cast member to write a tell-all about their experiences on Lost?
I think it's going to be that... I can't think of her name. She got arrested like 3 times for DUIs when she was in... She was the...
Libby or Anna Lucia?
Anna Lucia. I couldn't think... Yeah.
Michelle Rodriguez.
I'm surprised she doesn't have one out there already.
I bet Jorge Garcia will do some kind of book, because he's really funny, and he has a blog that's really funny. There's all this stuff with him baking all these breads and stuff. And
I don't read the comments.
What? But it goes on his blog. What's the difference of reading the content versus the comments? The comments are just noise. The content. I go to all kinds of sites of like analyses. And whatever. I mean, absolutely. I get emails from Entertainment Weekly. That's content. That's actually people. It's not just like, you're an idiot, JF172. Oh, yeah?
Shut up. No, you are.
No, you are, L1791.
Evangeline Lilly was just on Letterman.
I saw that she was going to be on.
I didn't see that. I didn't see it.
Comment on it?
No, I didn't see it. I actually didn't.
She trying to tell a story.
I'm sorry.
She mentioned in the interview that now she was homeless and jobless, because I guess she rented a place in Hawaii where they filmed. But she mentioned in the interview that she's like writing a novel or working on
it. Yeah,
so
I can't remember what genre she said it was, but that's it was funny. Like romantic, I think.
That would be...
Vampire romance.
There you go.
Amish vampire romance.
Yeah. Why not, right?
I'd love to. I'd read it.
It's a bloody bonnet.
You heard it here. The next...
That's right. The next big genre, bloody next bonnet books.
I never did that. Just so you know, I never wrote my vampire romance. Surprise.
Well, is there anything else that we should discuss? You want to make predictions about what's going to happen in the finale, or...
It just better be worth it. Because they bumped it from 2 hours. Now it's 2.5 hours. It's on a Sunday night. It gets its own night. We've been waiting for it for
and
6 years.
And it's on
years.
One of the numbers.
Yeah. It's on May 23rd. I don't know. I'm not glad to see it go, but glad that it's ending.
I just feel like the pressure's off.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, okay, I get it.
It's the only show that I really ever watch now. I guess
TMZ.
Yeah, I like Lost and TMZ. It's the only show like I still watch a lot of TV on DVD and stuff. But as far as new shows, I mean, I catch TMZ every Sunday, but I can't keep up with it daily. But I just gotta get my celeb news. But It'll be nice to not have a show that I want to watch that's on, I guess. But I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
What do you think?
Well, my crackpot theory is that the sideways world is going to end up, that's where it will end. That yeah. everybody that is dead, that we have mourned, is actually still alive, and that their lives are going to be okay. And we'll see if that comes true or not. Care to make a wager?
Do you think we'll get to find out who is the mother of Jack's son? We haven't met her. I mean,
oh yeah.
I want to say it's going to be Juliet. That's
yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. I hadn't gone there. I figured it was probably his first whatever Julie Bowen's character.
Oh yeah, Happy Gilmore's girl.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're out of time. Jeremy, aww. Amanda.
Brian.
Been a great discussion, Brian.
How's
thank
Annie?
You.
How's Annie? How's Annie?
Oh, so there you go. We'll pull you in on that because I will go to the mat with you and absolutely or not to the mat. I guess if you want to go to the mat,
alone?
That's fine. But I mean, and you don't watch television, but as far as like the way to end a show, like that's probably he's talking about the end of Twin Peaks. That's probably like. A pretty awesome way to end. It's a way to anger. There wasn't the internet when that show was on, but I mean, if there was, I think that would be the kind of thing that like would infuriate some people, and some people would think it's amazing because I think it's pretty awesome, but frustrating, but awesome.
I just want to say the internet did exist.
Oh,
when
well.
Twin Peaks was
that's
on.
That's okay. It's been around for 40 years.
And the fan community is about Twin Peaks that. Sort of evolved around Twin Peaks on the internet and this obsessive, like, what does all this mean on this show?
Yeah.
That was Twin Peaks that did that first.
Well, right.
Well, no, it's Who Shot J.R.?
Dallas. I'm in Dallas.
I want to say, too, that I watch TV all the time, and I have my Mad Men Barbie dolls pre-ordered, and my wife and I have really considered using our vacation to go to the Twin Peaks convention
that would
in Washington.
That'd be fantastic. That'd
no,
be
that was just true. What I
you said. Just yelled it really loud,
true.
Though.
I knew that.
No, that's true. I know somebody that went that. She met the dwarf, the man from another place. She got his autograph on a pack of cigarettes and said, "Let's smoke," instead of "Let's run." Let's smoke.
I never watched Twin Peaks.
Do yourself a favor.
You should watch it. It's awesome. That would be a good next thing to become obsessed
with.
Not
yeah.
You, see, yeah. now I'm creeped out.
If you think Lost has weird stuff, Twin Peaks, a lot of the weird stuff that was, there wasn't weird stuff on television before Twin Peaks, really. Not like that, I guess. I was a small boy when it was on. So, what do I know? I was a small boy.
Well, this has been Pop Matt's Lost edition of the Popmatic podcast. Until next time, skip Bonnaroo and join us for Steve McQueen and Bullet on Saturday, June 12th at 2 p.m. And if you haven't figured it out yet, this chat contains spoilers galore, so if you were spoiled by anything and are upset, be sure to leave it in the comments. You've been listening to Nashville Public Library's Popmatic podcast. For more information, please visit www.library.nashville.org.
That's on the interwebs.